Welcome to Ready to Prime, brought to you by Columbia Technology Partners and our friends at Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Alan Scott. If you've ever worked for a large company that provides services to a customer, I'm guessing at some point in your career you've probably said, I think I might be able to do this better on my own. Well, this is the show for those people who actually take the step off the ledge and fend for themselves in the cutthroat world that is government contracting. We're going to provide news, information relevant to the intelligence community, along with actionable content that'll be helpful to grow your business. At the end of each episode, those large contractors may have that, remember when kind of moment, while smalls will have a sense that they can actually do this. Part information, part inspiration, but all small business. This is Columbia Technology Partners Ready to Prime. We'll kick off the program with a look at where the money comes from, kind of the beginning of the trail, starting with the appropriations process and understanding how that money gets to the end result, being an RFP that you bid on, hopefully win, and become a paid government contractor. To do so, we turn to Bloomberg Government. Their senior contracts analyst, Paul Murphy, was kind enough to join me not too long ago. Here's how that went. Paul, how are you?
Good, Alan. It's great to see you again.
Great seeing you as well. The money, no matter whether you're in the classified space or unclassified or commercial space with regard to contracting, money still needs to come from somewhere.
Yes, Congress is still in the business of appropriating money, and that's where all the contracting funds originate. And we're in the midst of that process right now. They're busy marking up appropriations bills on the Hill that will determine what companies receive, not now, not in the next few weeks, but really in a year and a half from now.
So, well, and that's a great point. I'm glad you said a year and a half from now. This isn't an overnight process. This is something that you need to get in front of if you're someone who is in a small business, let's say, looking to start getting money from a particular agency with the government. That money just doesn't appear overnight.
No, it doesn't, Alan. But it really depends on where you jump on this merry-go-round, because companies that are a little bit larger have bigger marketing staffs, more people devoted to research. They have the luxury of time, and this acquisition process can be as long as 2 to 5 years, and not everybody has the luxury of that time. And so there are a variety of places you can jump onto this bandwagon to become an active player in the federal marketplace. There are these long-term contracts with industry days and forward-looking procurement plans that are extended over years ahead. But there are also, very short-term kinds of contracts. In fact, one of the interesting trends we're noticing lately is that in the last couple of years, what are called definitive contracts, which are contracts like purchase orders and standalone contracts, the money spent on these contracts is exceeding the money spent on indefinite delivery vehicles. And you don't need a past performance record to bid on these standalone contracts. You don't have to be part of an existing contract vehicle. So you can jump on a contract like that. And there's even shorter term contract vehicles, very quick turnaround types of awards, simplified acquisition bids, bids that are coming out of the Defense Logistics Agency, their online bid board service. Those are very rapid turnaround. They can be a matter of days. And you also have other opportunities for working with the federal government in terms of grants. That's a different process.
It's a completely different process. What can you tell us about the SOUP offering, NASA SOUP offering, if anything?
Well, it's very interesting. We actually just touched on SOUP in the last webinar we did with Brian Field, and it's going gangbusters. And one of the very interesting things we noticed about SOUP is that the mix between large and small business dollar awards has flipped. It started off with large business money exceeding small business money back in 2007, 2008. But now in 13 and 14, the small business dollars are more than double the large business dollars on SOUP. So it's become a tremendous vehicle over there at NASA for doing work with small businesses.
SOUP is an amazing vehicle because, as I've done some research on it as well, you're able to, I believe it's anything under $10 million is non-contestable once it's awarded. And if you get out there and you're teamed up with someone in the SOUP Bowl, let's say, and they find you, they can throw an RFP out there and have it out there for a day or two, find a bid that they like or a labor hour rating that they like, and say, you're the one, we want to give this to you. It cuts the amount of time that it takes, that whole proposal process, in an eighth of the amount of time. So it's a really quick turnaround for things like that.
Well, historically, Alan, protests were a real delay in implementing, you know, a lot of very important purchases by the federal government. Mm-hmm. And they've figured out a way to get around this now with, you know, making bids of a certain size non-protestable. But something else that's going on in soup is that, you know, the 2010 Small Business Jobs Act encouraged set-asides on multiple award contracts, and folks at NASA have been in using that to a great advantage for small business. I think that's one of the main reasons we're seeing the huge increase in small business procurement through soup.
By no means is this a commercial for NASA soup, but it's been likened to a fire hose. Once you get onto the soup vehicle, if you're a prime or you're teamed with someone as a sub on soup, watch out, because the fire hose gets turned on and proposals and task orders start flying in your direction almost immediately, which is wonderful for small business.
Well, it's become a very popular and successful vehicle in that regard.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the process that it takes to get the money out there. You talked about the appropriations process. Once the money has been appropriated, and we're looking at 2 to 5 years for that money from beginning to end, if you're looking at possibly being awarded a particular thing, let's say, or that you're selling widgets or a service of some sort, it could take some time. You really need to get in front of this process, as we mentioned, and you talked about a couple of different points at which you can jump on this train. Why don't you go through a couple of those for me?
Well, the budget process is the first indication we have that the government is committed to spending money on a particular procurement. And they, in order to get money put in the budget, you know, agencies have to go through an extended planning period ahead of time. They have to define the requirements. They have to identify potential sources of supply. They have to identify contract vehicles. They have to identify, you know, what kinds of set-aside preferences they might want to use. They have to identify what the mix is between large and small. So all that goes on ahead of the appropriations process, and a lot of that, you know, happens internal to the agency. But the iceberg begins to float above the surface, if you will, you know, as we enter the budget process and we begin to understand more about the scope of what, you know, the agency plans to spend, for instance, on information technology, where they break out the IT spending, you know, in the Exhibit 53 budgets. And there's also, you know, the certain parts of the CPIC process, the information technology budget planning process, begin to be made public. Documents like the A300s, for instance, the budget justifications for major information technology programs, these are published by the Office of Management and Budget and by VGA, of course,
sure,
on various websites. And so you begin to get an idea from these, you know, that there may be some opportunities coming down that match your market. Of course, the strategic plans that the agencies publish, do they come out less frequently than the budgets? Typically, some agencies, smaller agencies, may do something annually, but, you know, typically agencies plan 3 to 5 years at a time, and so you might see a 5-year agency strategic plan. And, you know, these are not as actionable, shall we say, as budgets and solicitations, but they begin to give companies a picture of, you know, just what the agency's priorities are. And particularly when they're coupled with these performance accountability reports, you can get a very good picture at virtually every agency, every major agency, about, you know, where they see their priorities, where they see their management challenges, and where companies with particular goods and services might fit into the agency's goals and objectives. And we strongly recommend that as part of a sustained and consistent business development process, that companies, large and small, study the agency strategic documents, because this is where you can tell whether your company is a match for what the agency needs.
So what I'm hearing, and as I translate this into the smaller business world, what I'm hearing is those of you who are considering opening up a business of some sort to sell your widget or services to the federal government, you might want to hold off in your place of employment for a few years. Just take a look, do some research, figure out where you're going to go, and then 2 to 3 years from now, when you're ready to make that move, the money will be there and it'll be ready when you're ready to submit your proposal. Does that sound about right?
One hopes. I mean, It's always a good idea to get as much information about, you know, the person or organization that you want to sell to.
Right.
And you know, long gone are the days where you could just walk into an agency and say, hey, you know, what do you need? Agencies expect that when you walk into their office, that you're not going to waste their time, that you're going to know what they need, and that you're going to have a solution ready to present to them.
Right.
And that's a huge difference between, you know, doing business with the government, you know, 10, 15 years ago.
You're listening to Columbia Technology Partners Ready to Prime on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My name's Alan Scott. I'm here in the offices of Bloomberg Government, actually in the Mount Vernon Conference Room, with senior contract analyst Mr. Paul Murphy, here talking about where the money comes from. Those opportunities and such don't fund themselves. The government has to actually provide money, figure out what they need, and ship that money off to the various organizations that are going to be spending that money accordingly. And hopefully you'll be the winner of one of these awards or grants, let's say, that will provide you with a means by which you can keep your company open, keep the lights on, and feed your families. As we talk about small business and such, you've been doing this for a long time, Paul.
Yes, and you know, Alan, as long as I've been doing this, I have never seen conditions as good for a small business as I have seen them right now. It's very unusual. There's been a sustained effort by several agencies, the Office of Management and Budget, you know, with memos in 2009 about increasing competitiveness and using the OSDBOOS, the Office of Small and Disadvantaged Business Utilization, to help them do market research and outreach with small business. There's been the DOD's Better Buying Initiative. There's been, you know, rules implementing the 2009 Duncan Hunter National Defense Authorization Act, all iterating the same mantra, if you will, that we need more outreach with small businesses. We need greater competition to ensure more sources of supply, more competitive sources of supply, more innovative kinds of suppliers. And you know, Alan, you know, it's easy to be cynical about federal government, but they seem to be working. For the last couple of years, the federal government has achieved its small business utilization goals. You know, there's an overall goal of doing business with the federal government. They want to spend about 23% of all procurement dollars with small business. They haven't been achieving those goals in the last couple of years. It's really unprecedented.
When you break that, and I don't mean to cut you off here, but when you break that down by agency, is every agency actually meeting those goals, or are some overperforming, compensating for those that aren't?
Most are, but the key difference is, you know, DOD is 70% of all federal procurement.
Right.
They got an A from the Small Business Administration on their scorecard this year because they are achieving their goals. And it's pretty remarkable. There are agencies that are getting A pluses, like, you know, the Department of Homeland Security, that only stood up a, you know, contracting shop, you know, 10 or 12 years ago when,
right,
they opened up for business. And it's been a remarkable turnaround there in outreach to small business and actual accomplishments. But these initiatives, these strategic initiatives by the agencies, are having a real effect on the numbers. I was wondering if I could just go over some of these numbers with you. And you know, explain where we're seeing, you know, some of these openings for small business. You know, of course, we're talking about this in the context of the drawdown in the defense budget with the end of the two wars, and also, you know, budget constraints and a lot of hard looking at, you know, big ticket items. And so between fiscal 11 and 14, overall spending, procurement spending has fallen almost 18%. And when you adjust that for small businesses, the decline has been about 13%. Nonetheless, small businesses have grown their share, both in terms of the absolute dollars being spent, but also in terms of the percentage of overall procurement. They're up to 25%, 24.9% from 21 just 4 years ago. And a lot of this is a result of increases in competition. We're seeing, despite the decline, we're seeing small businesses winning a quarter of all of the competitively awarded dollars, 26% actually. That's up from 23% 4 years ago. A big part of this is multiple award contracts.
Right.
Now, we talked about soup. That's an example of a multiple award contract in IDV. But you know, multiple award contracts, even though they've fallen in dollars, the share of multiple award contracts is still about 25%, and small businesses have grown their share of multiple award contracts from, they've almost doubled it, from 10% to 18%. The set-asides have grown from 9% to 12%. The small business share of GSA spending, 39 to 46%. The small business share of definitive contracts, you know, these purchase orders and standalone contracts we were talking about, they've doubled from 8 to 16%. And the small business share of simplified acquisition threshold spending, you know, the spending that's generally around up to $150,000, that's grown from 53 to 57%. So we're seeing real effects of
Are these effects sustainable? Are they sustainable? Are we seeing a trend where these numbers are going to continue to grow, or have we capped out now? Is this the best of the best?
Well, it really depends on, you know, the quality of the people you put in charge of the programs. You know, it's an ongoing struggle.
Right.
There's ongoing competition. Large businesses, may be in a bit of a lull because there's some big initiatives coming down the pike. You know, the Army and the Air Force have committed to spending large amounts of money on engineering services, on big contracts like OASIS.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the multi-board contracts we see opening up in the next few years have significant amounts of their business dedicated to small business. For instance, let me just list four or five of them. There's the NOAA ProTech opportunity coming out of the Department of Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
75% of the contract awards are reserved for small business, and it's estimated to be worth $3 billion. We've got an industry day coming up on August 12th. You've got the DISA Encore 3 opportunity, 20 performance areas, estimated to be worth several billion dollars. they've got two contract vehicles, one full and open and one for small business set aside.
Right.
They've got a conference coming up in September.
Looking forward to attending that one, by the way.
it's a very important. It's one of the key IT services industry days that will be held this year.
There's a lot of talk around the Ford about that.
We've got the DLA JETS program. Three groups of contracts. It's undetermined number of awardees, but it's an estimated $6 billion contract, 8 years long. And they have a very big commitment to small firms on that as well. They got a July 30th conference. And, we've got the 8A STARS contract that is really taking off. We've got...
VETS 2 is about to drop.
Well, we've seen on the 8A STARS 2 contract, we've seen spending grow from $19 million to $406 million in fiscal 2015.
That's crazy. I hope that the people that are in charge remain in charge for years to come, because these are numbers that you don't typically hear, especially when you hear them associated with small business. It becomes, it's an eye-opening thing is what it is.
Well, and this is what's driving this increase in all these numbers I've been quoting to you. And I'm sorry if it sounds a little geeky.
No.
But these are the ways that small businesses kind of triangulate, kind of feel their way around the federal marketplace. You know, every company has a unique fingerprint.
Right.
And every agency has a unique procurement environment. And it's really a question of, you know, identifying, you know, the ways agencies buy and who they like to buy from, what kinds of contract vehicles, what kinds of preference programs they like to buy, and how that marries up with your company and your capabilities. When you are deciding on a bid, it seems kind of intuitive when you sit down and talk to somebody who's experienced in this. It seems like they just kind of know all this stuff. But when you start breaking it down and you look at the numbers and you look at, you know, what influences, whether or not you bid, there could be 40 or 50 decision points that make up a decision whether or not to submit a bid. Because, you know, some of these bids are make or break decisions, make or break opportunities for companies. And, you know, they'll spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, preparing a bid.
Yeah, B&P money does not come cheap, you know.
Which it does not. And it also explains why, you know, we are actually seeing a lot of early on protests, questioning the terms of the bid because, you know, they mean so much to companies.
Right. Right. This has been an enlightening discussion, Paul. If you could leave us with one nugget, what is it that you would like us to walk away from this conversation knowing?
Well, you know, there's two. One is the old saw, you just have to know your customer. You just can't walk in blind to the federal government. You know, as the dollars have decreased, the environment has become more competitive, as we're showing. I mean, 70% of the dollars now are awarded competitively. So you need to know as much, if not more, than the other people who are going to be going after those bids. And the other thing is, this is a time of incredible opportunity for small business. I've been doing this for 30 years, and I have not seen it this positive for small business. The numbers have not looked this positive in all the years I've been doing this research.
For those of you who are working below the river or outside of the fort, there is life outside the fort, is what I'm trying to say. Don't put all your eggs in the Fort Meade basket. Although those eggs are tasty, there are plenty of others outside as well. And Paul Murphy just demonstrated that there is plenty of work out there. And for years to come, you small business people thinking about jumping off of your company, you might want to hold off, though, because you need to know your customer really, really, unless you have somebody on the end and they're willing to just slide you some, which doesn't happen very often.
Well, take a look at our archives. You'll see Brian and I, Brian Field and I, one of our folks on my analyst team, we just did an analysis of the increasing share of incumbent turnovers on contracts that it doesn't really matter who you know these days.
This is very true.
The government has gotten the word. OMB, OFPP, and DOD have spread the gospel that competition is where it's at. They need to sustain their industrial base. They need innovation. They need small businesses. And it's happening.
If people wanted to find out more about that and plenty more about contracting and such, where would they go? I'm guessing it's bgov.com.
Well, of course. We hope they'll give us a call. It's www.bgov.com, and you can call me direct at 202-416-3452.
His name is Paul Murphy, Senior Contract Analyst with Bloomberg Government. Paul, thanks so much for being here.
Al, it's great to see you again.
Now, let's recap. Paul Murphy just said he's been doing this for 30 years, and the conditions couldn't be better for a small business to jump into the pool right now. Guess conditions couldn't have been better for this program either. I am patting myself on the back for those of you who can't see me, but you can hear it. From Bloomberg Government, that senior contracting analyst, Paul Murphy, again, thank you so much for being a part of the program. Speaking of the program, would you like to be a part of it? Are you a large business owner that at some point struggled as a small business owner? Maybe you're small, on the verge of becoming large. Tell me your story. Call me, 410-290-3280. Again, 410-290-3280. I'd love to have you right here on Ready to Prime. Now I want to thank you for listening and invite you to check out Columbia Technology Partners for your teaming or subcontracting needs with the Department of Defense. Stellar past performance and a staff that simply gets the job done, period. Find us online at ctp-web.com or follow us on Twitter at ctp_web. I'll catch you next time, where I guarantee I'll be asking, are you ready to prime? For Columbia Technology Partners and, of course, Federal News Radio 1500 AM, my name is Alan Scott. Thanks for listening.